Father, we pray that tonight the sound of our praise was pleasing in your ear, but more than that, we pray that the sound of our hearts is pleasing in your ear, because we know that you look to the heart. You listen to the heart. You know the impossibilities that we deal with. You want to do for us such things. And tonight we've come saying we need Jesus. We need the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We need the Holy Presence, the Comforter. We need Him. And Father, we want to take Jesus, the Messiah, the Lamb of God, the Healer. We want to take Him out into this world. We want to proclaim that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, He's worthy. Do you know Him? Won't you let Him touch you? Won't you let Him claim you? And we want to proclaim that the Comforter is such a glorious companion. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins tonight. Thank you for the Word. Use us. Bless us if it's your will to bring such marvelous things to pass. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight's message will be the title of it, if it works, and I believe it will work. I'm not very good at titling things. Is God Says, Ask Me. This will be the first part. If God allows me to have a second part, you'll see that. So I want to go ahead and call this God Says, Ask Me, Part 1, as we're getting ready to look at that. So tonight, the very first thing we want to do is go to Jeremiah 33:3. Most of you all have this memorized, and if you don't, that's okay. The word falls into you and it does not return to God until it's accomplished what He has planned for it to do. That's what we must say. I believe that. I believe that God's word that has been spoken into my ear since I was a little child, and most of y'all have been hearing the word since you were little children, that we do not believe that His word will return to Him without accomplishing in me, and then I need to be able to speak it as often as possible. If you don't know anything more than just the fact, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you say, oh, I don't remember all of that. Well, do you remember these two words? Jesus wept. And those things, the reason He was weeping was not because His heart was broken. It's because all He could see were broken hearts. That's all He could see. I mean, if you were around, we're supposed to laugh with those that are laughing. We're supposed to cry with those that are crying. And so in Jeremiah 33:3, remember the title tonight is God Says, Ask Me. Part 1, Jeremiah 33:3, God says, Call unto Me and I will answer you. Now then, if you think you know what you need to tell God to do because He doesn't know, that's not the type of calling that you get to do. But He does say, Call unto Me. And if your heart is yearning tonight, if you're saying, Fill my cup, Lord, He knows exactly what needs to be in your cup. And so if you're saying to Him, I'm calling, I don't know exactly how to tell you what to do because I don't know what to do. I've tried everything and everything's falling all apart. We want to see that. And he says that I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. That should give you great hope. Because some of us have seen such things that we say, I want to have it like Ida had it. I want to have it like Tom has it. I want to have it like Max has it. I want to have it like Retha has it. You know, and we think we know what we want, and God says, you don't even know what you want. I know what you want. I have every part of your life. I have it all laid out. I have it all mapped out. And I want to show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Now then we want to go to Romans, the 11th chapter, and we're going to look at verses 25 through 32. And this is the beginning of the message this evening. I made sure I had a little bit more time this evening so we could look into these scriptures. And we can see them from Romans, the 11th chapter, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. That's like telling God what to do. You know, when you tell God what your plans are, when you refuse to let Him be in charge, I have an idea that that's part of the times whenever He's like a wise father. I remember there were times whenever I refused to allow my mom and dad to be in charge, and they were frustrated for a while, and then after a while they'd just kind of grin at me and back off. Okay. And I think our God laughs at us from time to time, and we should laugh with Him whenever He's laughing at us. I would not, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. Fullness of Gentiles. That means a whole lot more than their times are over when the fullness of Gentiles has come. There's a fullness that God expects for us to have great hope for. We're Gentiles. Some of you all, we've had a few Jews that have gone to church here in the past. But we should have hope for the fullness of the Gentiles, because there's only one hope for the fullness of Gentiles. That's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Do you have Christ in you, the hope of glory tonight? Amen. And so that the fullness of the Gentiles should be come in, and the fullness of Gentiles will be whenever it will be ended. Whenever God says it's time for the church, the bride of Christ, to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb, I'm going to a party. I mean, there are some things that I can put up with just because I know I'm going to a party. Right? Okay. And so all Israel shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved. I don't know exactly how that's going to work out, except that God has promised to save them. And it's been promised to them in Psalms 14:7. It's been promised back in the first five books of the Bible that God would save them all, so that all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and he shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Ungodliness is all over America tonight. It's in every one of our houses. How do I know that? Every time you turn on the boob tube. Ungodliness is being spoken out of there. It's being sung out of there. It's being danced out of there. Ungodliness is coming out of that. You get a hold of the paper, you read it. Ungodliness is coming out of there. Unless we know that we need God and we're crying out to Him for Him to do the things that He wants to do in our lives, He says, call on Me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Unless we know what we need and we're calling on Him, then ungodliness will be drowning us for the rest of our lives. I want you to know, have you ever drowned? Or you ever felt like you were drowning? I was passing a whole lot of kidney stones in the last week. The doctor said I passed multiples. And there was a time whenever I felt like I was drowning in kidney stones. And I want you to know, I don't feel like that drowning is something that God expects for us to do unless it's so He can show His marvelous grace to us. So we want to call upon God tonight, that all Israel shall be saved, as it written, verse 27, for this is My, what is that word? What is that word? What is that word? Everybody say it. Thank you, that's good. For this is My covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Well, sins have been taken away, but they're blinded. They don't know that Jesus has taken away their sins. They don't understand. They're wanting to have that third temple. We want to have it. We want to have it. We want to build it here on the Temple Mount so we can offer up sacrifices and believe in the one sacrifice that will come. Brothers and sisters, we know Him. He's been offered up once for all. He's been offered up to carry sins away. If you've got an ungodliness problem that your heart is twisted and your mind just can't handle it anymore, then you need the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, talking about the Israel, because the majority of Israel in that day, there was a great number of them that accepted Jesus, priests and Pharisees and Sadducees and Essenes and all the other E's that there are in Israel at that time. They were all, out of all of them, there was a great number of them that were coming to Jesus, but the nation as a whole would not come to Jesus. And we're living in a nation like that today, aren't we? Do we have hope? Yes, we have hope. Again, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. He wants to use us to go out into the marketplace. He wants to use us with those that work with us side by side that we might be able to speak a word into their ear and then just turn it loose and let God do with that word what He wants to. And you might say, well, I feel like a fool. I just stutter and stammer whenever I say the word. Moses was a stammerer. And God used him to lead those people for 40 years. So if you're stuttering and stammering, say, Moses, you're at the throne of God with me. I want to believe like you believed. Because He said, don't send me because my lips, I have a hard time with my lips. And God said, I will enable you. I will give you someone who will help you. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Aren't you glad that our God doesn't come back to us at a time and be able to say to us, well, you didn't measure up. I'm kind of sick of you. I'm getting ready to kick you out. If you'd have just done a little bit more. God's not in the business of saying us doing a little bit more. He's saying, do you believe that Jesus did it all? By His life, are you willing to be saved? Do you believe that His life will save you? That's in Romans the 5th chapter, verse 10. If you wonder about His life saving you. Because in the presence of God, it's not our lives that have to do with salvation. It's His life that has to do with salvation. And in verse 30, I'm getting finished with this portion so I can go to another portion this evening. For as you in times past have not believed, talking to the Gentiles who had become believers, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, because Jews were being pushed out of the nation every which direction. They were being forced out all over the rest of the empire, the Roman Empire, and and those Jews were the believing Jews that were going out. And they were being pushed out because of the unbelief. In America today, we might think, if there was some place I could go in this world so that I could really have the life of being a believer, I'd go there. Well, obviously, God desires for us to be believers here in America, in Shawnee, in Oklahoma. Verse 32, I think that's, even so have these also not believed that through your mercy they also might obtain mercy. You understand that we need to receive mercy from God. Mercy from God is not receiving the bad things that we deserve. And we don't dwell on that very much until we get into the position, kind of like I was this last week whenever I was screaming like a little girl. Oh! 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 Not quite like that. But I was screaming like a little girl and I was saying, give me mercy! And He said, I want to give you so much more than just a little bit of mercy for the pain that you're in right now. I want to give you mercy! You need mercy because there's so much that you deserve that I don't want to give to you. And we need to think like that. Last verse that we're going to look at here. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief that He might have mercy upon all. It's very important. He has concluded everybody in unbelief. Everybody. If you're here tonight and your mother, grandmother was a believing grandmother and your grandfather was a shouting Baptist or a Pentecost or any of the other denominations, Seventh Day, and they were great believers. And we've all been all of us have been, He's concluded all of us in unbelief, that He might have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. God wants to have mercy. Is there anybody here tonight that's in a situation that's kind of like maybe your situation has got to the point where mine this last week where I said, have mercy on me! Well, God wants to have mercy. And He'll put you into a position where you'll cry out to Him and say, give me mercy. And He says, but don't you stop. Because you don't deserve mercy, but I'll give it to you. But don't stop asking for it. Alright, so now that we have gone through those scriptures to be able to get there, and we want to go to Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9. Is Joshua? No, it's 1 Kings. Pardon me, I've got things written down here, but my brain is wanting to jump around. We're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3. Now remember, He has concluded all in unbelief, that He might have mercy upon. And you know, God has such things that He's saying to you, call on, God says, ask me. Call on me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Those are merciful things, my brothers and sisters. And Solomon loved the Lord. Let's say that again. And Solomon loved the Lord. We love God because He first loved us. Have you forgotten that God first loved you? Have you forgotten that God's still in love with you? Have you forgotten that God wants to love you more than He has ever loved you before? And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed burnt incense on high places. Uh-oh. He was not supposed to be doing that. The land of Israel was dotted with high places that the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the other ites had left behind. And in those high places, they had offered such horrible sacrifices on those places. They had to be cleansed, but even then, the people had a tendency to begin to do what the people that lived in the land did, to fall back into whatever they had offered sacrifices there before. Now, I want you to know something, that He's going up to offer up sacrifices on a high place. It's in Gibeon. It's in Gibeon. And that's where the bulk of the message is going to be tonight. Do y'all remember about Gibeon? Do y'all remember how Gibeon came into play in the land whenever the children of Israel were going into Israel? Do you remember the story about Gibeon? And so it says here that he went to burn incense in the high places, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. Do you know what they did there on that altar? They offered their children. They performed abominable, horrible acts around that altar when they would offer their children up. It's very important that you remember that. But the place had been cleansed. You need to understand that God is concluding all in unbelief that He might have mercy upon all. And in Gibeon, here's this place where all these horrible sacrifices had been offered up. And in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. I want God to appear to me. He's appearing to me right now in the Word. He's coming and He's speaking words in my ear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Into a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. He concluded all in unbelief that He might have mercy upon all. So there's some things we need to be asking God. First of all, we need to be asking for mercy, that I might give you. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great, what? Mercy. Do you see that? He has concluded all in unbelief that he might show mercy unto all. Great mercy. And he has showed unto David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in the uprightness of heart with you. And thou hast kept... Now we know that David was a great sinner. We don't know all about all of his sins, but we know about at least two of them. He committed adultery with a woman that was not his, that belonged to somebody else, got her pregnant. That was Solomon's mother. And the great mercy. Then he murdered the husband of the woman so that he could hide his sin. You know, God concludes all of us in unbelief. We're always trying to hide our sin. Every one of us. We've got the bay of being able to put on the face. I don't think that I ever put on the face whenever I appear in the pulpit. Y'all might think that I do, but I don't think I do. So y'all can say, "How are you doing?" I say, "Marvelous." I'm not hiding my face. I'm wanting God's face to shine on my face. And in that moment, there's some people that will look at me like there's something about me. They might see something, and I'm saying, "Oh, it's not about me. It's all about Him. Because He's where I'm going, and He never has left me down here. And You have kept Him this, You have, and Thou hast kept for Him this great kindness, that You have given Him a son to sit upon His throne as it is this day." The son that was going to sit upon the throne has not sit there yet. Are y'all understanding that? He's referring to the Messiah. He was going to give to David, out of David, and all of his house would come the Messiah. And he says, as it is this day. And Solomon's saying, not only that, out of me is going to come the Messiah. Did I deserve for the Messiah to come out of me? Do we deserve for the Messiah to come into us? We've all been concluded in unbelief that He might have mercy upon all. And so He to sit upon the throne as it is this day. "And now, O Lord my God, Thou hast made Thy servant king, Thy slave king, instead of David my father, and I am but a little child, and I know not how to go out or to come in. And Your servant is in the midst of Your people, which You have chosen." How many of you believe tonight that God chooses people to save them? He chooses people to dwell with them. He chooses people to bless. He chooses people to make plans for them, to let them know He's made plans for them. If you're going to the hospital, He's made plans for you. If you're in your great, great problems of your life, He's made plans for you. It's up to you to let Him know, "I believe You've made plans for me. You have chosen a great people that cannot be numbered." Now I want you to know something. God didn't choose them because they couldn't be numbered. He said, you all are not the greatest among all people. You're not the smartest of all people. You're not the mightiest of all people. And the number of you is not the reason I chose you. He chose Israel so that He might express His mercy. Now I know we're all to be about grace, but mercy is where we're needing to look at whenever God says, "Ask me." Because He's wanting to give us mercy. And when we get mercy, then we can get happy about the fact that there are good things that we don't deserve that God wants to give to us. And says, "And I'm as a little child, I do not know how to go out or to come in." Now then He's 30 years of age. You all know that He's 30 years of age, don't you? Because you had to be 30 years of age to begin your real life in Israel. Someone could basically own you. You could be apprenticed to someone for the first so many years of your life to show them that you could learn their trade and you could do the things that they could do and everything like that. But you didn't really get to have your own life until you were 30 years of age. And then you could start doing the things that you could do with your hands or with your mind or that you could do with your body in some way. And so Solomon was not able to take the throne until he was 30, and he ruled for 40 years. You know, I got to thinking about that. 80 years they had two leaders. Tonight in Israel they've had one for the last 10 years. And about half of the people there are said, "We're tired of this leader." How do you think the people in Israel felt like after 80 years they had David and they had Solomon? I don't know that they were nearly as finicky as Americans are. Now then, when it came to Rehoboam, a new generation had come along. And they were finicky when Rehoboam came into place. But God has concluded all in unbelief that He might be merciful upon all. And you need to know tonight you need for God to be merciful to you, because He's saying, "Call on Me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know anything about." And so Solomon is there at Gibeon, that place where all those horrible sacrifices have been offered up in the past. We're going to find out in the not too distant future from here that there's going to be a thing that happens where the men of Gibeon are wanting vengeance on someone, and whenever they kill them, it's like they offered up human sacrifices, because that was part of their cultural and genetic memory. And God concludes all, because God said even to the, not only to the Israelites, but even said it to Gibeon, I have concluded all in unbelief that I might be merciful to all. And that's a marvelous place to be tonight. If you're here and you're saying, I just don't know if I really believe God anymore. I'm in here, this is a difficult place to be. I've just gotten to the place where everything's gotten too difficult for me. I just don't understand how God could allow this to happen or that to happen. God's saying, you're right. You're right for me to be involved in you and my word to come alive in you and begin to do things in that you that never thought would be possible before. And so this is what he says here, that you have your people. Give therefore thy servant. And now I want you all to know that this is a different message from what I was preaching on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. But these were some of the same scriptures I was wanting to use then. And God said, I don't know if God said, no, I don't want you to preach on that. Y'all saw me, those of you that were here on that Sunday morning, whenever I turned as white as a sheet. I don't know if I looked like I was wet, but I was wet because there's sweat all over me. And I said, I can't go on anymore. I understand what it's like whenever you say you can't go on anymore. Jesus says too. And He said, I will never, never leave you, and I will never, never, never forsake you. Because God has concluded all in unbelief that He might have mercy upon all. And so He said, give your servant an understanding heart. Do you know what that word for understanding means there literally? A hearing heart. A heart that can hear. Look it up in the Hebrew. It means a hearing heart. A hearing heart will eventually understand. It may not understand at first, but it will eventually understand. A hearing heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. God says, ask me. And He's asking, He said, give me a hearing heart. When's the last time any of us have prayed to God to give us a hearing heart? My heart doesn't really hear anything anymore. Well, do you think that God can make it to where if He could open deaf ears so they could hear? If He could open a blind eyes so that they could see? If He could take withered legs and straighten them out so that they could jump up and stand and leap and walk and start praising God? Do you think that He can open the eyes of your heart, the ears of your heart, so that your heart can hear? Because in America needs hearing hearts. Hearts that are hearing Jesus tonight. That I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Great in sin, possibly great in mercy. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because you have asked this thing and hast not asked for yourself long life, neither have you asked for riches, neither have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself hearing to discern judgment. And I'm not getting into the rest of this chapter. I just want you to know what God's going to say here. I have done according to your words. I'm going to give you mercy, Solomon. You don't deserve it. Because none of what Solomon is going to get, you can say, well, wasn't he the wisest man that ever lived? Doesn't a wise man deserve some of those things? Well, if we're all concluded in unbelief, we don't deserve anything. But God wants to be giving to us such amazing things. Behold, I have given to thee a wise and a hearing heart, so that there was none like you before you, neither after you shall any arise like unto you. And I will give you that which you have not asked. I'll give you riches. I'll give you honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto you all of your days. And you will walk in my ways and to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, and I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke. I don't know if I'd want to wait from something like that. I want to say, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven. Feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Do we deserve for Him to fill our cups up? There's not anybody that deserves for him to fill their cups up. I know there's some people that feel like that they've really lived a good life, and I deserve it. You've been concluded in unbelief. We've all been concluded in unbelief. We don't deserve anything from God. And yet He loves people so much that He says, ask me. Ask me. We're going to be thinking about that in the days yet to come. And I've gotten as far as God's going to let me go this evening. I'm not going to pass out, in case y'all are wondering. But I think the Spirit is saying it's a good place to stop. To say, do you really consider yourself worthy? Do you really consider yourself a person who is better than other people because of the way that you have lived or what you have done? Because God says, I have concluded everybody in unbelief that I might be merciful upon all. And all you've ever gotten all of your life is mercy. With a grace added on top of that. God's wanting to give people tonight mercy. We're going to be going back and looking in here. I need to stay up here because we're going to offer up the solid rock. So if you all come up, and I'll be ready to do that in just about the time that you get there. We're going to be going back to Gibeon. We're going to be seeing what happened at Gibeon. You all remember the story about how they came and they dressed in clothes that were all worn and old. Yeah, they're going, oh, that's right, that's Gibeon, yeah. And how they came down to make an agreement with, we're from a far land. To make an agreement with the Jews. What kind of agreement do you think that was? What do you think you would call that kind of agreement? Like maybe between God and Abram? What was that agreement called?
It's a covenant. And they came down to make that covenant with them. You know, I'm only going to do a little bit because I'll get into this next week if God allows me. If I'm in heaven next week, you're going to say, where's Philip? Get the rest of that. I wish you'd take 3 hours.
Oh, I came down here. Have y'all got the solid? My hope is built. That's good. So, just a moment. So we're going to find out how Gibeon was such an evil place, but God had concluded all in unbelief that He might have mercy upon all. Do you understand that that's what's happened? The only reason that Israel has been blinded is so they can conclude all in unbelief. And we look on and we say, how is it that they can't see Him? Why can't they? Because God has concluded all in unbelief. And there'll come a day when that day comes, their eyes will be open and the Israel shall be saved. Because God, when He says, I will save you. I will redeem you. That's not something He takes lightly, because that's part of His covenant promises. God's made a covenant with you tonight if you've accepted Jesus. And He wants to bring into play things for you and for all of those who belong to you. And tonight everybody in here has got people that belong to you. People that you work with. People that belong to you because you become like a mentor to them. You become like a father. You become like a mother. Are people that belong to you because they've become like a father or mother who are in their aged years, and now then you're having to do something with them and to help them. And God's saying, I want to give mercy. Won't you just call on me? It's a good time to be able to sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Let's all stand.